Hello everyone, Stuart and Jody here at, from Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. It's good to engage with you online. And just to remind you that this is the first Sunday of the month when we normally celebrate Holy Communion together. So if you'd like to participate in that part of the service, go and get yourself some bread and some wine or liquid equivalent and press pause and come back and join us. So thank you for rejoining us if you've gone away, and we'll just commit this time to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, as we listen online, this is not just a podcast we're listening to, but this is a worship experience. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would connect us with you and with each other as we listen and as we worship and as we break bread and drink wine together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jody's going to come and do the reading, which is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10.
Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Thank you, Jody. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that this word would become a living word which speaks into our lives. So send your Holy Spirit to us as we reflect together on this passage and on our new sermon series. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are starting a new series this week on ministering and serving. And it will last for 6 weeks up to the summer holiday season, which is designed to help us think more fully about our own roles serving the church and to prepare us for the forthcoming diaconate elections in September, where we're looking to nominate at least two new deacons. In relation to the reading, in the old system, in Israel, prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 66, it was all about coming to encounter God in the temple, mediated by the priests. Peter brings together both the idea of the temple building and the priesthood, and proposes that we are now fulfilling that function. He says that in verse 5. Where it says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house or temple to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We together, as living stones, are being built into a temple of the Spirit. It is no longer about a physical building, but it is we as the people who are the temple of the Spirit, who become a holy priesthood, offering sacrifices to God. Not animal sacrifices as before, but sacrifices of love, service, and praise to God. What does it mean for us to be a priest? As Baptists, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. All of us are priests and have direct access to God in and through Jesus. We are called to represent people to God and God to people, to pray for people who can't or don't want to pray for themselves. We are called to be like priests, to intercede for others, to pray for our unbelieving family, friends, and neighbours. And that is both a privilege and a responsibility. We are mediators of an encounter, of a relationship with God, not just for ourselves, but for the community of which we are a part, and spilling out into the wider community. Recently, we've had some tragic deaths in our circle of friends and relationships. Jodie's fiddle teacher in Edinburgh's son committed suicide, and a friend who is the same age as me in Milton Keynes dropped dead suddenly. And I find myself praying a lot for people who maybe don't even believe or maybe don't know how to pray, and finding that we have a priestly role to intercede for others, to be a voice for the voiceless, to be a prayer for those who are too grief-stricken to pray. In verse 5, it says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." It's that "you also" that jumps out. This is not for someone else, for the minister, for the deacons, or for other church officers. This is addressing you, us, all of us. Each of us is a living stone being built into a temple, a holy priesthood. But how do we play our part in a community of priests? What is ours to do? In the Old Testament, there were lots of different roles for the priests. Some were musicians, some were singers, some were craftspeople who made things. Some had very practical jobs like carrying things around and cleaning things or being butchers. Others had different roles within the worship or different roles of service. So what has God gifted you with that you can use to serve others? And how can we go about mediating an encounter relationship with God for the people around us? By our prayer, by our love, by our service. We have been chosen for a purpose. And what is that purpose? In verse 9 and 10, it says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So we have been chosen for a purpose, to declare God's praises and mercy to those who don't yet know that mercy for themselves. We've not been chosen for our own benefit, but we've been chosen to be a priestly blessing to others, that they may come to praise God also, that they may come to experience his mercy for themselves. In this series, we're thinking about ministering and serving. We have considered what it means for all of us to be part of that ministerial team. We are all needed, especially as things open up again. There is more than enough for us all to do, to muck in and help out in different ways. We are a priesthood of believers who aren't afraid of getting our hands dirty in serving God and other people. In the coming weeks, we'll be thinking about our own individual personalities and skills and how we can bring those in service and ministry to the church and to the wider world. So, what is God calling to you? What is he calling you to do, my fellow priest? We'll now move into a time of celebrating communion. So if you don't have bread and wine and you want to join in, and you're all more than welcome, then press pause and rejoin us. So let's just spend a moment to gather ourselves in God's presence. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Let's listen again to the familiar words of the Last Supper as passed down to us by the Apostle Paul. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord Jesus himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took some bread and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink this, do it so in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." So as Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, we likewise do the same. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this bread and this wine, ordinary, humble things of the earth set apart for your holy and life-giving purposes. We thank you for this bread, which reminds us and makes present the body of Jesus broken for us. We thank you for this wine, which reminds us and makes present of his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins and the sins of the whole world. So as we gather around this table, we remember Jesus for all he means to us, all he has done for us. And we give you our grateful thanks that you sent him to be our saviour, our teacher, our liberator. And as we gather here in communion with him, with you, Father, and with the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would nourish us and strengthen us in your service, that we can become your priests and be a blessing to the wider world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus took the bread, so take your bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." Judy, body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. Body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. Then Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me." So take your wine, drink this, remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Judy, the blood of Christ shed for you. And let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. And keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jane and Graham Fletcher are going to lead us now in some prayers of intercession.
When we looked at today's readings, two things stood out to us, both things demanding and exciting at the same time, as with so many Bible passages. Christ is the cornerstone on which we should build our lives, both as individuals and as a community. We are called to be the bricks used to build the kingdom of God on this firm foundation. A prospect which is as wonderful as it is daunting. Moreover, we are to do it with a pure heart, banishing all the tools and values on which worldly successes are so often built. But we cannot possibly do this in our own strength. So we would like to spend this time praying for those people and ourselves who are working in the Lord's name. As we usually do, we will leave time for you to add your prayers to ours.
Let us pray. Father God, as we listen to the news and look at the community around us, we see so many places where you are needed. We pray for those serving in politically unstable countries, Syria, Israel and Palestine, Myanmar, Yemen. Give your workers the wisdom and strength and peace only you can give.
We think of the coming G7 conference, discussing so many worldwide problems. Climate change. Poverty and the effects of COVID on the poorest, made worse by the ever-increasing gap between the haves and the have-nots. The need to share vaccines fairly among all nations. We pray that there will be actions and not merely words.
We pray for our government. Give them wisdom as they discuss the best next steps in easing the COVID restrictions in light of the new COVID variants.
We ask you, Father, to be with those working in the NHS, still having to deal with COVID, while trying to catch up with the many procedures postponed over the past 15 months, while yet battling the effects of the strain during that time. We pray also for those whose appointments and treatments have been postponed. Give them your peace.
We bring to you, loving Father, those working here at Carey in your service. Our pastor and the deacons making difficult decisions with ever-changing regulations. The leaders and helpers of the brigades and Toddle Inn. Help them as they work hard to maintain a self-involvement while creating fun for others. May they work in your love and strength.
Be with those who do not feel ready to return to the Sunday services yet, but are still a valued part of the community at Carey. There are many individuals within our fellowship caring and praying for others. Keep us a caring and sharing community, working as you would wish. We pray with confidence in the name of Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jane and Graham, for your prayers. I'll close now with a blessing. The blessing of God, life giver, pain bearer, and love maker be with us all, now and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and we'll still be continuing with these recordings for the foreseeable future, even with the uncertainty about when we'll be opening up fully in the coming weeks with the government making decisions. So we'll still be here for a while anyway, so keep tuning in. Go well and God bless.